Well, let's go see if we can see the comet. And that was cool. If we'd only brought a camera.
Yeah, I've tried several nights here to see, look at it, but it's, you know, it's in the eastern sky, and that's where Jeffrey is.
Western sky.
No, it's the eastern sky.
No, western sky.
Well, maybe for you it's the western sky, but for us...
No, no, it's in the western sky, Barry. Trust me.
Well, I took my whatchamacallit out, the iPad Skywalker or whatever.
Yeah.
And it said it talked all about it and said it's in the eastern sky for us.
No,
and
it's in the western sky, trust me.
It even when I was taking the thing out there, it was telling me, "No, it's over here to your left."
No, it's in it because
I won't be able to see it in the western sky. There's trees in the way.
Well, it's in the western sky, and now it's up to a magnitude 2.1, 2.2. Yeah. It's getting dim. It's half as bright as it was last
week. Well, it freaking lied to me.
Yeah, apparently it did.
Well,
it would have been the eastern, if you were in the southern hemisphere. They can't see it anymore. I don't know. It's okay, whatever.
Well, anything that tells me that Mars is emerging from Uranus.
Oh, my God.
Geek humor.
All right. Let's get this thing started. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRL! Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, it's Maple Weekend in New England. Michael now wants to be a fireman? And just look in the southeast sky. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire. Here's Josh, Barry J, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 87. From an almost spring-like area in the southwestern part of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, where it was 55 degrees today, this is Josh.
It's not spring, and it's not 55. This is Michael, the Virtual Youper, outside at Copper Harbor.
So how's it going, Michael?
Mid-30s, though.
That picture was unbelievable.
Which one?
The one you put in the Dropbox, which I was trying to get Josh to take a look at.
Which Josh is downloading Dropbox right now, and it's on the top bar. Finally!
Yeah. Because it's just an unbelievable picture of you standing on the roadside with the snow up above your head by about 3 feet.
See, that's what I was telling you when we were chatting the other night about, if you fall asleep at the wheel, it's no big deal in some stretches because you just bounce off the snowbanks.
Yeah, it looks like a luge. A luge truck.
They get bigger than that, the sides of the road, but that was... That was actually, if you look at it, that was cut out by a blower.
That's not
pushed back from a plow.
No, I could tell.
It's that high all the way back.
That was
one of the places where I took video. The last video that Josh looked at, actually, was it coming along the lakeshore there.
Yeah.
Well, we came down along there, and I went to go make the turn, and came to an abrupt halt because they gave up. You go around the corner, and there's like 10 feet high of snow all the way across the road. So then I had to back up a couple blocks and try to go around it.
Now I'm looking at that picture.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Holy.
And by the way, that wasn't a parking lot. From last week you're talking
about. Oh, really?
Son, that was just from shoveling out his driveway.
Oh,
and there was a little pushback from the road, but
Well, I just figured, you know, even if it was a small parking lot, I don't imagine there's very many large parking lots in Carper Harbor. So, you know, I'm thinking, if anything, it came from something that maybe held four or five cars.
Not even that.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
That was incredible. Actually Calumet. Calumet got hit worse last week, but we still had our share of it here.
Jeez.
If you look out the back door of my garage, well, you can only look out the top part of the back door of my garage. And it's a pretty consistent 5-6 feet of snow going out the back. You can see the bump where the one garden tractor is that I bought.
Yeah.
There's just kind of a bump above it.
Yeah.
And then you get back to where my blower is from my main tractor. All you can see is the chute sticking out of the snow. That's a pretty good sized blower.
Wow.
But it's starting to, you know, even though we're still getting plenty of snow here, the sun is getting out. We have this strange thing up here called pavement we've been seeing lately. And the snow is starting to compress. So in some areas, it's down to 2 or 3 feet. The rest of it's still pretty high.
2 or 3 feet of solid ice.
Yeah, it's pretty hard pack. Once that starts to melt, it gets pretty impressive as far as the amount of water running up here. The waterfalls are fantastic when they finally start to melt.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. And of course, there's a storm going through right now that's hitting Washington, D.C. through New York and no higher. Thank God. Yeah, so they're going to get slammed anywhere from 4 to 6 inches in D.C. area, they were saying. Well, that was Front Royal area, so that's out in the mountains.
Wait a minute. Did you say slammed with 4 to 6 inches?
Oh, that's slamming for them.
That's flurries here.
No, that's they'll be paralyzed for 3 weeks with that amount of snow. Seriously, I used to live there. I know.
Okay.
Yeah, that everything will be closed, shut down tomorrow probably. You know, so your tax dollars at work.
That's incredible. Oh. That is just incredible. 4 inches of snow and it's you know,
yeah,
devastating. And you're thinking, mm-hmm. What?
Of course, this is the talk coming from the wimp who, you know, oh look, I counted 2 flakes of snow coming down. I'm staying home.
Well, there's a big difference between driving 70 miles or 60 miles in an active snowstorm where it's, I don't know, 8 to 12 inches deep in a front-wheel drive Prius that weighs about 78 pounds when you're not in it. So, I mean,
speaking of a luge.
Yeah, and the real bad days, I just lay on top of it.
Exactly. You slide your way. You just kind of kick with your left foot. Use your hands as rudders to steer it through the snow.
Oh, that would be a good picture of me laying on top of the
Honestly, it's, you know, I don't, and let's face it, too, the other thing to really, yeah, I mean, another reason why it's a smart move is hybrid cars have extremely hard rubber tires on them, which is indicative of, well, let's face it, shitty traction, shittier than soft rubber tires. Because they're low friction tires, hence why the hybrid gets so much better at gas mileage.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so it's not super indicative. It's counterproductive to say that hybrid tires and lots of snow go together.
Yeah.
Sort of like oil and water,
or oil and hybrids too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pray for traction. You don't have any.
Really. So, well, this weekend was Maple Weekend here in New England, and what you were supposed to do is go out and visit your local sugar house, which Anne-Marie and I did. We actually, because we have one probably about 10 minutes from the house here, yes, that we pass every year, and we've never gone to it. So this year, the open sign was up, the open flag was up, and we decided to stop in along with everybody else, and of course, they had a table out there, and they were selling some of their products. And, of course, you could go in and see the evaporator. Yep. And this was a wood-fueled evaporator. So it was. I took some pictures. They're up on Facebook.
Nice. I won't see them.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to put them up on Google Plus,
and
too.
Google Plus, yes.
But yes, it was very nice, and I was They had lots of tastings that you could do with the different products, and I was in the sugar house with the owner and I guess one of his workers, and I think it was his son actually, and I was saying, you know, I'm a diabetic with all this sampling here, I'm going to have to take some extra insulin. They look at me, so are we. So we had a nice discussion about insulin pumps, and well, everybody's walking around sampling maple syrup. And
nice.
But
that's how a community, you know, grows together, is you taste the syrup, you know, then you turn up your insulin, then you taste some more syrup, and you laugh.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
That's how you know, you bond as a neighborhood.
Right, and then you die. But, no, they had some great stuff, and then this morning, Anne-Marie made some pancakes, and we actually used some of the Jaffrey maple syrup on it, so... It was good to have a little bit of our own town of Jaffrey right on our pancakes.
Yeah, on my pancakes. All right.
So, and actually, some of that syrup came from the road I live on, because he actually taps the horse farm's trees.
Really?
Yeah. So we had, who knows? Could have been coming from some of the trees I walk by with the Sammy, and Sammy helps add a little moisture to.
Add some nutrients.
That's one way of looking at it. Sammy's contribution.
There we go. Right there on the pancakes.
Something special.
I'm having pancakes here, honey, for breakfast, and I got this incredible desire to go walk the dog. I don't know what's up. Every mouthful just makes you want to take the dog out for a walk.
Yep. Anyway. So, a couple of weeks ago, Facebook announced that they were changing their news feed. And apparently they did, but they're slowly rolling it out to people. And, well, I know, Josh, you're not going to be able to answer this, but Michael, have you seen the new news feed yet?
I don't believe so.
I haven't.
Then it's not that much different.
I don't see any difference at all, so I don't think we've got it yet. So they're really rolling it out pretty slow, because this is weak.
They're trying the mailbox approach to make it scarce, to make people want it.
Yeah, well, you already have
it. Not going to work.
You know, we already have it. It's Facebook. Nobody else is going to sign up to get the new news feed. Jeez, half the world is signed up for it anyway.
Well, see, instead of just pushing it on everybody like they do every time and pissing everybody off, if they make you wait for it, then people are waiting for it instead of getting pissed off.
Yeah, then I'm going to...
I think it's a new strategy.
Yeah. Oh, wow, I finally got it! Oh, this sucks!
A whole lot of hype for no good reason.
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't say whether I like it or not. So, and these are show notes that we just didn't get to last week, and we didn't get to them the week before, so some of it's old news, but we'll continue down the list here. Skype, I guess 2 weeks ago, they came out with yet another change, and this time for the iOS crowd. And, you know, I don't think I've opened it up on my phone yet to see what it looks like.
It's way different.
Is it?
Especially when you're on a call, it's way different.
Yeah. So, in other words...
Good or different bad?
Let me open it up. I got my iPhone right
actually,
here.
I think it's better, but it does change the interface completely. Like, they don't do that.
I'm signed in. And maybe, I can't call myself because...
It doesn't look much different unless you actually go on a call, Barry.
Really?
Yeah, but then it makes a big difference, especially if you're making a call.
Yeah, I can't call myself. I was going to try
Mike,
and make...
We should
and you
call
can't call
something.
Me because I've got... Well, yeah. Well, you could call Barty.
Yeah, Barty's...
Well, no, wait a minute, but he's going to be busy.
I don't want to do that. He's busy tonight, but he's home. So I'll try.
Both of my identities covered right
I'll
now.
Try.
Well, after the show, right?
I don't know. Maybe I'll try to call Josh anyway.
Oh, I got my phone right here.
Let me get here. Let's see. Let's see what happens. It's probably going to tell you you're busy. Voice call. Whoa, that is different.
Yeah.
Wow. It is. Oh. It went away right away.
What?
It came up. A blue thing with your picture came on, and then it went away. And I'm back.
It's probably because you're already talking to him.
Yeah, are you calling me?
Oh, you trying to tell me that Skype is that smart to know that I'm already talking to him on another computer?
Wait a minute.
Is it the same account?
Are you calling me on the same? Yes. Are you going to call me on my phone or are you going to call me on the computer?
I've only got one of you. Let me see.
Well, I can handle two.
Let me go see if I can find it. Let me see. Search the Skype directory. I'll try.
Do I have Skype on my cutting edge technology from 1986? Let me view it.
Maybe I need to.
I may have to. No, I've never downloaded it to the fourth cutting edge technology handheld device.
Yeah, I only have one address shows up for you.
I only have one Skype account.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So we're not going to try it. I did see the GUI, and it seemed quite different. Hopefully for the better. I'll have to try it later on. See what it looks like.
Try something, even if it's wrong.
I do have another account I could call myself, but I can't remember what that account is right now.
1-800, who am I?
Oh, I think it's Radio QRM.
But, yeah, the show's got one, doesn't it? But I think it is.
Oh, it's Radio QRM. Yeah, it's Radio QRM. I don't know. I could try that. Let me look for it. Radio QRM.
So while he's looking for that.
Yes.
I can't believe that pager didn't come over the show 2 weeks ago.
It did.
It was but it was quiet. I mean, I did hear it on the show, but it was echoing off the walls. But it wasn't right into when I'm using this microphone. I guess it's very, very directional.
Uh-huh. I heard it. I heard it.
Okay.
I thought I was watching. I'm trying to remember the show now. Rescue.
Yeah.
I heard. And I heard. Gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what the other what came over the pager, i.e. what exact words, but I figured, you know what? I don't think they're ordering a pizza.
No.
It was
a snowmobile. It was a snowmobile directly into a tree at 40 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh!
And they were not anywhere near the road.
Oh my gosh! That means you're hunting in the woods trying to find somebody to help.
No. I knew where to go. I had to get rescue equipment, and we got the ambulance there, and I was the medic that went in, and fortunately for the person involved, there happened to be two paramedics from Illinois up here on vacation that came across them, and
that's God looking down on you.
Yep,
it is.
But we got them out safely. They were in intensive care for 3 days, and as far as I know, they are still in the hospital, but they will make a full recovery.
Oh, that's good.
It was a pretty good. They were very lucky to be alive at all with that type of impact.
Wow. I tell you what, 40 miles an hour on a sled, I mean, honest to God, that one, that's moving. And two, there is nothing to just, I mean, it's much like riding a motorcycle. There's nothing to protect you. You're going to fly off and you're going to hit and roll and bounce and bend and break. There's just nothing to stop you.
The front skis were on either side of the tree. The tree was all the way up to the windshield, and I didn't see the engine anywhere.
Holy smokes.
But the person just happened to have enough inertia off to the side that they hit the tree on the way by it.
And spun them.
Shattered right femur, pretty bad break to the left arm, some other injuries. So I had a lot of stuff I had to take care of before I could even safely transport them out. And it was about a 20-minute ride out.
Wow.
They weren't anywhere near the road. So that's a little sample of what I do up here.
Wow.
I am never totally off call. Let's put it that way.
Right,
and
exactly.
I've had four of those instances since our last show.
Wow. Jeez.
That's why I got the license in the first place. That's, you know, we need it up here. So, mm-hmm. And if you see the other link to that, I just added that note. I figured I had 5 more minutes of spare time, so this week I put in my application for firefighter.
Oh, you're kidding. Really? Oh, geez, well, yeah. For those extra 2 seconds a week you have.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be on scene anyhow, and it's kind of, I'm doing it backwards, because normally you do, you know, you work your way up through firefighter, and then you become a paramedic. Well, I became a paramedic, and now I'm going back and getting my firefighter. But,
can you actually do that? I'm just curious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're two separate courses.
I thought there, now, again, I'm not being a jerk about this, but I thought there was an age limit on when you could become a firefighter. I mean, you can retire out at any age, but to start, they always say, all right, no one's older than like 33 or whatever.
Well, up here, let's put it this way. Up here, they are at the big issue is whether you are physically capable of doing it. And I went and interviewed with the chiefs and in the area, and they said, "Oh, yeah, Mike, we know you. We have no idea. We have no question that you can meet the physical requirements of the job, and that you'll probably be active for at least the next decade." And I said, "Yeah, I plan to be."
Right.
So, no, it's basically said, fill in the paperwork, and you're already in. You just have to go through the you have to go through the education, but
right.
So that's the thought. Well, it doesn't hurt to have the full firefighter paramedic. I don't think I'd ever have trouble finding work as a paramedic anywhere in North America. But having the full firefighter paramedic education behind that even opens up more doors for me if I needed it. But my main intent is to use it here because it's needed here.
Right, exactly. At home.
At home. Wow. That's why I did it. So did you call yourself yet, Barry?
I did call myself, but I didn't answer.
But I didn't answer.
I'm not at home, I guess. Or
how rude.
But I did get to see the new GUI, and, you know, it does look a lot better than the old one. What can I say?
It tries to reconnect automatically if it drops, and it tells you that it's doing it.
Yeah, we've noticed that quite a few times.
I shouldn't say that, but it actually does seem to be running a little smoother.
Yeah.
I've cursed it now. But.
Well, you know, I have heard that Microsoft does. I mean, they're dropping Hotmail for Outlook, and they're also dropped. What was their Messenger thing? Was it Messenger? Theirs was called. I don't know, but they're dropping that for Skype. So if you're going to chat on a Microsoft product now, it's going to be with Skype. So they've pretty much incorporated Skype being their number one way of communicating on the internet. So, so they're obviously putting more money into it, which is a good thing because we have noticed that Skype has gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
The connections are better. And I don't mind paying the money I was paying to do the conference call thing, because it's actually working quite well. Even with, people with bad bandwidth, like, Uberville there.
Me.
Now, we still have to kill the video, but that's okay. That's probably something, though.
Well, that's because it's still using a megabit.
Yeah.
The video is using a megabit, which is like twice as much as Google.
And you know what? That may be okay, because if you looked at the video quality on Google, it's pretty much pixelated. You know, let's put it this way, Michael. When your entire being on the display is made up of 4 pixels, it's really hard to tell who I'm talking to.
Is this a Minecraft podcast or what?
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, I don't mind. Not only that, but, you know, and poor Barty just can't stay connected when we use Google Outlook or what is it? Not Outlook. Hang up, which is what it does to Barty every time he comes on. He's there for like 10 minutes. Good, solid Barty for 10 minutes, and all of a sudden, it hangs up on him. He tries to call back in, it hangs up on him. And so Google's got a way to go to catch up with Microsoft. Boy, dare I say that. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
You know, Google Plus is doing that, but on the other hand, Google Plus through YouTube broadcast seems to be working fairly smoothly. That's how this culture is doing their shows now.
Really?
They're doing it because they were doing that one audio stream, and they have, and then what forced them one night, the guy who does their producer didn't show up unannounced. unannounced, he didn't show up. And all of a sudden, they had no backup plan. So Shane threw together a Google Plus on YouTube. And it's actually, even here, it's sounding pretty darn good.
Really?
Although, you know, 45 minutes into the show, everything just went boop.
Yeah.
And we were on a separate chat room, so I sent them the famous tagline that they haven't heard yet. We hear it all the time, but I basically told them, hey, guys, Hangout hung up. They liked that. That was cool. That made it to the air.
Yeah.
But the video looks good, and the picture looks good, and the audio is good, and it was averaging still 400 to 500K on my end. So it was actually viewable here in the beautiful suburbs of downtown Copper Harbor or something like that. Yeah.
Well, we'll keep trying, and we'll see. So far, you know, maybe, Skype will try to lower the bandwidth on the video, but they're probably not, because you know they're trying to also use that for business type communication.
Yeah.
So video has to be good, and most businesses have a decent amount of bandwidth that can deal with it. So, well, there was a story 2 weeks ago that I found interesting. And it was, you know, they're talking about the new Mars mission that they're planning to, they're working on right now, where they're going to send people out to Mars. And so part of the ship for that long trip is this thing that blows up. It's kind of like a big bubble almost, or, you know, there's a picture here. It's, and we got links in the show notes. It's kind of like a riveted thing. It actually looks like a toilet plunger, you know, inside the tank. It's kind of what it looks like. But it was interesting. They were saying, now, how do you shield the people from radiation in something like that? And their solution is they're going to fill a pocket around there, this blow-up bubble. There's going to be a pocket between the outside wall and the inside wall, and they're going to fill it with food, urine, and feces.
Sweet!
And that's the radiation shield that they're going to use for the Mars trip. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't think I'd want to store my food, urine, and feces in the same place. It's just, you know, it doesn't sound...
Cool.
Yeah, especially when you look at space food, because sometimes it'd be hard to tell the difference. Feces, food, feces, you know.
Which one has
Is this the chocolate fudge or the...
when did I eat corn? Oh, wait, that's the good stuff.
Is this Tang? Or...
you know they don't make that stuff anymore? I thought I heard.
Really?
I thought I heard.
Probably don't. Well, you know, actually, on the space station, they recycle the urine. So you actually are drinking it. Well, yeah, minus.
After it's processed.
Yeah, yes. After it's processed.
I stand corrected. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
That can't be right. Tang. I'm looking at it on Wikipedia. And then I just plugged it into the old book of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And here is Tang orange powder drink mix. 22 quart. $13.90. I ain't never been that thirsty in my life. What the? For Tang?
Come to think of it, I haven't seen it on the grocery shelves in a long time. But then again, I only go into a grocery store maybe 3 times a year.
I'm looking at another one. It says Tang orange flavored drink for $53.75.
For what size?
Sold as a case of 12. So 12 of the containers, you know, we'd buy off the shelves of the grocery store. In one case for $53.75.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm thinking nope.
Yeah, don't think so. I remember the taste.
I did love it as a kid, though.
Same here.
It was.
You had to use about twice as much as they told you to use, but
if you wanted to have any flavor in it,
yeah.
And it's one of those things like it does not taste like orange juice. It's got a neat flavor. To me, it tastes like
Tang.
It's like, yes, it's Tang. It's like, to me, as I tell my wife, it's like instant iced tea mix, okay?
Yes, it tastes nothing like iced tea.
It doesn't taste anything like iced tea, but I do enjoy instant iced tea mix.
Yes, it's certain brands over others, too.
Right.
I remember the battle between the one that began with the L and the other one that began with the W.
W?
Oh, yeah.
W. Yep. Well, I know the L one. What's W? I can't. I'll probably know it if you said. Why are we saying
it's
L?
Not like, it's not like it's affecting our sponsor.
Yeah. Welch's. Welch's?
No, not Welch's. Shit. We had Lipton.
Lipton, I know.
Weiler's.
Who?
Weiler's. Weiler's iced tea.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't remember Weiler's iced tea.
No,
I've always been a Lipton.
Knowledge. I may be remembering wrong.
Yeah, that could be it. You're probably right, but I guess we've always been Lipton guys.
Because it was Weiler's. Weiler's drinks mix: lemonade, chicken cubes, beef granules. They made everything. Weiler's
wow, iced that's tea. What I want—a cold glass of chicken cubes.
Yep, Weiler's iced tea. Holy shit, I remember that. I thought for sure I would have killed them brain cells a long time ago from drinking. I've had many, many, many thousands of beers between since the last time I had a pitcher of Weiler's iced tea, and I actually remembered it was with a W.
Boy, I'd have to go look at it and see if I remember it.
Hell, they sell it at Walgreens. Holy crap.
Wow.
Good memory, Michael.
Wow.
I used to drink it.
Yeah, we were always Lipton. That was the one we got all the time.
And if you bought the store brand, that usually tasted like, a mixture between road gravel and axle grease. It never tasted like Lipton iced tea. When you got the store brand, you got, the stores growing up. I mean, I know Barry, you had A&P.
Yep.
Then you had Pathmark.
Yep.
Acme. And every time you got the store brand anything there, mm-hmm. at least in the late 70s, early 80s, it always tasted like shit and didn't work.
Yeah. Yep. And, one of the local ones we had in the Philadelphia area, we had Gennardi's.
Yep.
Which is a supermarket food chain. But it was, I think, just in the Philadelphia, maybe New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey, Philadelphia area. And then if you go to South Central Pennsylvania, you had Giant food stores.
Giant, yes. Not to be confused with the Giant food stores in Maryland and the D.C. area, because that was a different Giant.
That was a different Giant.
The other Giant was also known in Northern Virginia, at least out in the Winchester Front Royal area, was known as Martin's.
Oh, yeah.
And Martin's and Giant, I think, were the same company. Now, what I found out is Giant and Maryland and D.C. are the same thing as, you got me confused because you said Pathmark, but it's not. It's one up here.
Hannaford.
Not Hannaford.
Stop Shop.
Stop and Shop, yes. It's the exact same company, which is actually a Dutch company, but they have the same logo.
Yes, Dutch company, because Hannaford Brothers was bought out by an English company, which is also the same ones, I think, that own Star Market and Shaw's.
Ah, really? Wow.
Yes, sir.
Huh.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
But that's okay, because I'm poor, so I shop at Market Basket.
Yeah, we all shop at Market Basket, which the old-timers called the Moolahs.
The Moolahs,
that's it. Yes.
None of these names ring a bell in the Midwest.
Exactly. St. Michael's going, what?
Yeah. Well, that's because you live in Upperville. There, you guys still go out and hunt for your food.
You know, just the Midwest, period. You know, my first jobs were working for National Tea Company. Now, that was the big chain. I don't know if they had those out east.
Hmm, no.
And then A&P.
Yep.
Yeah, A&P. That was a kind of a countrywide chain, I think.
Yeah, well, National Tea was also. A&P bought out National Tea.
Oh, okay.
And then it became an IGA.
IGA. IGA?
IGA, yeah.
Yeah, I remember IGAs. They were the independent Grocery Association or whatever.
Yep.
I just remembered one now called Jewel Tea.
J-E-W. Oh, yeah. Jewel is still big. Jewel's big in the Midwest.
Hmm. Really?
Jewel Tea Company, yeah, but it's just called Jewel now.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, I remember my mom shopping there.
Yeah, they're huge in the Midwest. They're one of the survivors, actually.
Really?
Because National Tea in Atlantic and Pacific, they're gone.
Yeah, I was the A&P.
But they were tea companies. National Tea, Atlantic Pacific, Jewel Tea.
Mm-hmm. And you guys didn't have Acme in the Midwest?
Only on Wile E. Coyote.
I was gonna say it.
That was a big.
When I was going to New York, that's just made their opening debut here in New England, and it is called Wegmans.
Wegmans.
Wegmans is big in the New York area.
Don't know them.
And it's actually a really nice friggin' store, man. I have to be honest with you.
Really?
Not overly priced, but it's really, really nice. Like some of your high-end grocery stores, you know, the one where everything that you look at and the really, what I call where the rich people shop, because everything in that store is a dollar and a half more than it is at any other normal grocery store. But the store is more nicely decorated, and it's a little more foofy, and you're like, I don't really give a flying fart, you know, if, you know, you have classical music playing in the background and people handing out, you know, snossages at every aisle end cap. If it's going to cost me $70 more to shop here than it does the store across the street. You know, and,
yeah.
I'll bag my own groceries, thank you.
That's right. And you know what? And I get sick and tired of the snotty-ass lady, or as I like to refer to her, especially if I'm in the store, the uppity bitch standing behind me, that when they say, "Hi, sir, what would you..." You know, they start to beep, 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 do your groceries. I'm like, "Paper, please, double bag it." And there's always Miss Uppity Bitch standing behind me who gives you this look like, "You asked for paper." And I've said this so many times because it pisses me off. I'm like, "Okay, lady, let's look at it this way. Paper bags are made from what? Wood. Wood is what? A tree at some point, which is a what? A renewable resource. You can plant a seed and grow another tree. Then you can employ a woodcutter to cut it down, a truck driver to haul the logs away, back to the paper mill where it's refined and turned down into whatever the pulp it's made for at the paper plant to be turned into a brown paper, and then goes to the other company that folds it, and their guy has a job or a girl has a job making it into a bag. And then, when it's all said and done and I use it, I got something to start the goddamn wood stove with. However, plastic, once it's made, if you want to get all green and touchy-feely, plastic, nothing good about it whatsoever. You can try to recycle, but typically you can only use about 30% of it to recycle. And once it's made, when you burn it, it makes nothing but toxins. So who's more green between the two of us? And she's like, "I never really thought about that." I says, "But I really don't give a shit about whether your opinion is green or not. I just happen to like paper over plastic. So fuck you very much."
We always ask for plastic only for two reasons. A, I can carry almost the entire shopping in one carry if I have plastic, because I can just keep flipping them, you know, looping them over my fingers. And B,
but the new bags are cheaper and the handles break.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But and B, we use it to clean out the cap box.
And that's exactly what, you know what?
Yep.
Yeah, my beautiful bride, yep, when she goes to the grocery store, she gets the plastic for that exact same reason, having three little kitties running around.
Yeah.
It's perfect for cleaning out the kitty pan. Every time I go grocery shopping, which is about once or twice a week, I always get paper.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's a nice balance.
So, yeah, it's a nice balance, and you need both. So it works out that way. So. And actually, you could use the paper ones to clean out the kitty box, too.
And I have, on more than one occasion.
But I wouldn't want to burn them in the stove after.
Not with the kitty poo in it. Yeah. It might be a little stinky. And the stove gets chock full of rocks that don't seem to burn up.
They call those clinkers.
Exactly. Having had two coal stoves, that's some funny looking clinkers. And why does it smell like old fresh step? What's going on here? Can coal go off?
Oh my. Okay. Well.
Boy, did we ever take a side road on that one?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That went from NASA.
That's what makes the show good.
Well, we kind of almost went full circle, because we start off with NASA using poop as a radiation block.
And we ended up with cat poop. Into
food and groceries, okay. and back, and yeah, we ended with cat poop. So, yeah, we're good.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Full
circle. You know, if we actually, we could save our cat poop and give it to NASA.
And just like an episode of Connections on PBS.
That's Late Night QRM's hosts contribution to the space program. We all have cat poop and we'll send it to you.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, this week, Google's Eric Schmidt says Google Now, which is supposed to be a fantastic app. I wouldn't know because I don't have an Android phone. They've got it for, they're developing it for iOS, or they have developed it for iOS, and it's in Apple's court now to get it approved and out on the iPhone, which the next day, Apple came out and said, well, Google Now for the iOS has not been submitted to the App Store yet. So, yeah, and I will be curious to see whether Apple will, approve it. So far, they've approved pretty much all the Google products. And based on their track record on their own apps, it's probably a good thing that they're doing that. They make a fine phone. They've been making shitty apps lately. Maps?
Yeah, good point.
And supposedly they cleaned up
iTunes.
Well, supposedly they cleaned up Podcaster, and I think I've actually got that as a topic here. Their podcast application, and they got rid of the fancy. They had a picture of a reel-to-reel tape, and it whenever you played something, this thing would spin. Even to the point where, as the tape went from one reel to the other, the reel speeds would vary depending on how much tape they had on them. And it was like, why are you wasting your time with crap like that when you got a shitty app? Why don't you fix the app? And sure enough, this version of it, which I am going to give it a workout, although I use Downcast, and I'm very happy with Downcast, but I will go check out the podcast app to see how they improved it. So supposedly they took away the reels, and you can actually create little stations now, and you can create your lists. And so I will go check it out just to see how they improved it. Hopefully Apple's going to come out with some better apps. And if not, they better darn well approve the Google apps, because Google's got some good apps out there. Google Now is supposed to be pretty good. I don't know that much about it, but supposedly it pays attention to where you are, and it'll remind you of things and tell you how to get to places and things like that based on where you are. And
well, it keeps track of your habits too. I've got it on my Nexus 7.
Do you?
Yes.
And of course you keep your Nexus 7 in the man cave, so all it does is, hey, you're in the man cave again.
Now it's actually in my backpack.
Time to drink beer.
It's Sunday night. What's your beverage of the evening?
May I recommend a nice Brick House? Well, no, what's it called? Is it Brick House Brewery?
Brickside.
Brickside Brewery, yeah.
Yeah, or as we say, let's go get bricked at the brewery.
I'm sorry, I was drinking my brew at the time you did that, and almost went up through my nose.
It's also a common term we have for people who have come to town and are not familiar with the alcoholic content of a microbrewery.
They
have two or three pints, and they come out and they go, holy cow.
Let's go get bricked.
Yeah. That's what we call getting bricked.
7% by volume?
Some of them are up as high as 9.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a nice cognac.
18 proof.
Wow. I think this brew is...
My favorite's about 6.2%. It's porter.
Right.
I think this brew, too, is about up at 9 on mine.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a pretty strong beer. Yeah, and the longer it sits, the better the head on it gets. And well, that just adds more alcohol to it.
Yep. Well, I mean... The atmosphere at the Brickside, first of all, it's the de facto hangout of the EMS and firefighter crew in town. It's got good steel-tipped darts, two boards, no waiting. Nice. Nice atmosphere, friendly place, and it's $3.50 a pint.
Ooh, that's nice.
Wow. And whole evening there, and at the ABV that it has, 2 pints is normally enough for an evening of enjoyment, and you walk out of there with tip for about $10.
Wow. Yes, oh, man.
And great beer.
You got that and yes. Darts?
Yeah.
So if you walk in there with a $20 bill and a couple of buds, you're getting a couple of, you're getting pub food, pub grub, a couple of pints, and some great conversation.
Yeah, they don't have a kitchen there, but the other restaurants will bring the food over.
Really?
You just call down to the Mariner or the Pines, and they'll cook something up and bring it over to you. So it's cool.
That's neat. It's
really nice. Need an order of wings and 5 pints, please.
Yeah, there you go. Well, for the food, they say, here's the phone.
But, right, exactly.
Or you walk a block and a half down, place your order. I mean, it's not that far.
Yeah. Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, it is.
That's nice.
And it was all started with Kickstarter.
Really?
That was a Kickstarter project, yeah.
Ah, so it's a successful Kickstarter project.
It is a successful Kickstarter project, a very successful one.
Now, are they selling online or anywhere? Is it just, you know, show up?
They're slowly, well, their main income is through distributors.
Okay.
The big profit margin, yeah, I'm learning this stuff because I know the owner, is selling kegs is the way he wants to go because it's his highest profit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because bottle expense and everything.
Bottling is very labor intensive. He sells a gajillion cases of beer.
Yeah.
And you saw his bottles. Mm-hmm. He has one size. It's the 22-ounce bottle.
Yeah, Josh.
Yes. And those are $4.50.
You ought to go down and visit the one in Nashua.
Jasper's,
and you know, just happen to mention it and see if they got any of that in there.
I will have to go and do just
that. And if
that.
Not, why not?
I'm thinking that's a heck of a good idea to sit there and say, here's the telephone number of a contact in the UP that you need to call this man and get a couple of gigs of this stuff sent over.
Yeah, get some of that uppity beer.
I don't know if they're shipping out of state yet. Although, they're shipping to Wisconsin, so yeah, they are.
Well, here's my UPS shipper's number.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll charter a flight.
You can ship this over. Now you can slow boat it on ground, and we'll just say this is for engineering evaluation purposes.
Yeah. Yes. And, that's right. We want that uppity beer here. Yeah, UP.
Quality control.
There we go. Yeah. Yes, I think that would be an excellent idea. I might have to take a trip into Keene and ask for it and say, what? You don't have this? It's the latest craze.
Oh, my God. This thing is the hottest thing since sliced white bread. You got to have this. You know, see if we can help out a little bit.
That would be great.
Is my mic working?
Yeah, why?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't sound like shit.
Oh, it always sounds like shit.
Thank you, Barry.
But it's the best one you have. The other one sounds shittier, so...
This is true. I'm actually going to solder together the candy this week. I have it in parted pieces all over the top of one of my desks.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I'd have to get a... Well, I do have a USB one. If I travel, now that I got the new MacBook Pro here... It's got a plug that's supposed to be output and input, but I haven't figured out how they do that. And frankly, I can't find anything in the Apple store that they sell that has a microphone that does both. That's of any kind of quality microphone. So I think they expect you to use a USB microphone, which I have my H4. I have one of those mics too, but I also have for traveling. I have my H4. Which is a standalone recorder, but I can also plug it in and use it as a standalone microphone or microphone plugged into the laptop. And the nice thing about that is I can also plug in regular microphones into the back of it. So if I wanted to get real fancy. But
yeah. The ooh-la-la package.
Yeah. And I didn't forget I had it, but I hadn't seen it for a while, and it's in my work knapsack. I carry it with me, because last time I went on a trip, I took it with me, and it's still in there. So anyway, so by the way, last Apple story of the night. Once again,
well, I've got one too.
Okay,
go ahead.
Second to the last one. Once again, iPhone ranks highest in the J.D. Power Smartphone Customer Satisfaction Survey. So yay to all those Apple fanboys out there who voted and made them number one for the ninth year. So is the iPhone that old?
No.
Because I remember them saying 8 and they had it crossed out in 9 next to it. Well, maybe Apple by itself, because I know they've always been number one with the Macs and everything.
Well, for customer satisfaction,
yeah,
I would buy 9 years just overall, but not for the iPhone.
Yeah, I couldn't. So, anyway, so that was my last Apple story.
Well, my next one, and it probably has some bearing on you just because of your Mac Mini, but I did upgrade to 10.8.3 this week. And I noticed a performance improvement on my MacBook Pro. Now, I was happy just that Mountain Lion fixed all the problems of Lion. And I was more than happy to deal with a little bit slower performance. But I have noticed it's quite a bit peppier. And since I got that fantastic memory management app that you recommended, I've noticed that it's keeping a whole lot more memory free than it used to.
Cool.
It seems to be doing better memory management as well.
I did update, actually my beautiful bride updated her own computer, which I was like, wonders of wonders, miracles of miracle. And, because usually she leaves that for me to do. And I haven't gone on it since she upgraded it. Now, I upgraded the MacBook Pro here, and I did notice that it solved. I was noticing a fan problem on my MacBook Pro where the fans would kick on, and I'm looking at the temperature up at the top because I use those little apps up on the top, and I was like, I'm sitting at like 99 degrees and the fans are running full on. Why? You know, and I was thinking, well, maybe something else in there is getting hot, memory or something, and therefore it's doing it. But then I read there was an issue with fan control, and I have not had that problem since I upgraded.
What app might this be?
What app?
Memory app that Michael was talking about.
Oh, it's called
Memory Clear.
Memory card. It's free.
Yeah. It's Memory Clear, but the app name is give me a second. Memory Clean.
Memory Clean for Mac?
Yeah, just go to the app store.
Oh, whoops! I was actually going to the Book of Knowledge. I was being silly. Forgot I had an app store. Where the hell's the app store? I haven't been there since Christmas.
The blue circle with an A on it.
On the bottom. Normally the third icon over.
From there's Finder. There's
Launchpad,
the app launcher.
Control, Safari, Skype. With an A with a circle. Oh, there it is. App store. Hee-hee. Okay.
That's where you get your updates, too.
I forgot all about that.
Have you been keeping up with your upgrades?
No.
You probably didn't get this upgrade.
I don't know. Last time I was here is when we put Mountain Lion on this machine over Christmas.
Oh, my God. There's been like 15 right now, upgrades since then.
Don't upgrade it.
Don't upgrade now. One of them's like a 700 meg upgrade.
Actually, but what was that app called? App Memory?
Memory Clean.
You said.
And speaking of your beautiful bride, since Barty's not here to plug it, the last two episodes, not that there have been any bad ones, but the last two episodes of Political QRM have been outstanding.
Haven't they? I've really enjoyed them myself.
And the last one, both my kids hung on to every word, including who was Benjamin Carson. So I played his speech at the prayer breakfast. And if you haven't heard that,
I did.
Go to YouTube. It is awesome.
Yes.
It is just nothing less than awesome. If this guy runs for president, I'm voting
for him. I'm voting for him, and I hope to God he doesn't run as a Republican. I hope he doesn't run as a Republican, and I hope he doesn't run as a Democrat. I really hope he runs as either an independent or they start a third party. Do something.
Party.
because this guy is, I mean, you can't, they're not going to find anything wrong with him. The guy's a freaking brain surgeon.
You know? Literally.
And, you know, the guy is just, he just makes so much sense. He's smart. It's unbelievable. And
he pissed off Obama.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was funny. I mean, yeah, Obama was sitting there getting madder and madder.
He's pounding on his BlackBerry. Who in the hell invited this guy?
Yeah. But he is like, I will vote for him in a heartbeat. You know?
Absolutely.
The guy is, you know, I listened to him, what was it, last weekend? When was CPAC? Because I didn't listen to CPAC at all, except I heard he was speaking, and I tuned in to C-SPAN. I actually downloaded the C-SPAN radio app because I was busy doing stuff. It was on Saturday, and I heard he was speaking, and I listened to him speak at CPAC, and it was just like, oh, this guy's got to run. He just retired from being a neurosurgeon. So let's see what his plans are. And
I know I violated the rules of late night QRM, but I just had to get there.
Well, you know, hey, when somebody comes out that's exceptional and it's, you know, neither Republican nor Democrat. Huh?
Comrade. I said we do talk politics.
Yes.
Comrade.
I just think people should get out and have a listen to what this guy has to say.
Yeah, get the word out. Yeah. Start now.
So, yeah. But yes, their show has been. I sit here. I'm sitting here and chuckling half the time, you know, because they've loosened it up a little bit too. So, and which is nice.
Yeah, they have.
And you know, they still talk the politics, but they mix it with personal stories, and it's just it's really turning out to be a really good podcast. And
yeah, please let them know they had the kids on the edge of their seat just listening.
I will definitely. Definitely tell them, because I'd like to definitely get the word out. They have learned well, just from sitting and talking to each other, they do play off each other very well, and they're both from raised. They're both Italian, from New Jersey originally, and they know each other's hot spots, and they can turn them on just like that.
I think it's time to push a button now.
It's great. I just sit here and crack up, you know, they're doing it. So, I actually, this, we recorded one today, which I'll probably get out tomorrow night. And it was on par with the other ones you've been listening to, today's. So definitely Political QRM,
awesome.
PoliticalQRM.com. Check it out. And if you're of the progressive liberal persuasion, it might piss you off, but you know, give it a listen anyway, because you know your guy's in office and he pisses up most of us off. We got to put up with it, so you can put up with it. So anyway, another story that came out today was that HBO, Josh, you might be interested in this. HBO is now considering maybe letting HBO Go be available to non-subscribers.
Really?
For a price, of course. They'll charge for it. But right now, if you want to watch HBO Go, you have to have a subscription to it on either DirecTV or one of the cable channels.
Right, which is stupid, because if I already had TV, then why the hell would I, you know, who cares?
Well, I'm sure it's the cable companies and satellite companies that are forcing them to do that and fear that they're going to lose people who are cutting the cord. And but I heard that and I said, this is good news, because, boy, if they do that and one or two other channels decide to do that, I may be cutting the cord. Because
I already did. I cut it years ago.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm looking, and I actually checked out. I haven't looked at Hulu Plus in years. Mm-hmm. And today I was taking a look at it, and I'm like, well, damn, they got a ton of crap here.
Yes, they do.
I'm looking through it, and I'm saying, geez, this is incredible. So between that and that Arrow, was it Arrow? Yeah, that's what it was called, wasn't it? Remember the thing we were talking about 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, A-E-R-O, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Arrow.
Arrow, yeah, exactly. Arrow,
that's going to expand if they don't get sued out of existence.
Which I don't think they will.
Yeah, everybody's going after them, but I don't think they got. I don't think they have a chance with these guys because they're saying, look, all we're doing is sticking an antenna up for people.
Yeah.
And providing that stream to them. And they're even saying, which I don't particularly like because I'd like to get some out of area channels, but they're saying, look, you know, based on the zip code of the person, we're offering
what's already
over the air stuff in their market for people that can't put up antennas or people that just don't have a good signal from over the air, and they stream it to you. And I'm like, wow, so I can get live coverage of major stuff there, and I think I could pretty much start thinking about cutting the cord on the satellite and stuff, because I'm finding I'm spending more time on the Roku and Apple TV boxes than I am on the DirecTV DVR these days. So
I could actually say I miss one channel, one show that I had on with satellite, and I can't wait when I can start to stream that one channel. We all know it's BBC America. Mm-hmm. If somebody says, hey, you know, for $5 a month or whatever, here you can have it like you can a Roku channel.
Yeah,
done deal. I'll never even consider going back to regular TV.
Yeah, it's funny because I noticed that Hulu Plus has they list BBC as one of their channels, but then if you see what shows are on, it's like they got three shows from BBC.
Yeah, exactly. It's I want the whole. I'd like to have the lineup.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call that you have BBC America channel because you're only offering three shows off the thing.
Right.
So, but it's getting more and more, and I was looking through Hulu Plus, and I said, "Wow!" And what's this? It's $7.99 a month. I'm like, But I gotta cut. I'm gonna have to cut down my DirecTV, I think, because. But like I said, every time I go to DirecTV and say, "Yeah, I want to cut it back. I want to go to this level because I really don't need all this crap," then they offer something else that's, "Oh, well, we'll keep you at this level for a cheaper price." Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, it's cheaper, so I'll stick with it for another 6 months.
That's how they keep roping you in.
Yeah.
What you got to do is call them up and say, well, we'll give you, I don't want give nothing. Shut this off, shut that off, shut this off, shut that off. Thank you, goodbye.
Yeah. Well, the only way I could do that is to shut the whole thing off, and I'm not ready to shut the whole thing off yet. Because, you know, well, like I said, I picked it and I said, okay, I can go to this level. Give me this level, and then they said, well, for what you've got now, we can offer it to you cheaper than if I went to that level for 6 months. And I'm like, okay, well, it's cheaper. So, yeah, I'll stick to where I am for 6 months. Yeah. So, we'll see. It's getting time to call them again, I think, because I think some of my my things are done.
Some of your last customer retention programs.
Yes, my yes.
I like that.
That's it.
Your last customer retention program.
And that's it. I just, when they call and answer the phone, I said, yeah, can I please speak to customer retention, please? I just tell them that, you know, right away. I don't even bother to talk to the first person.
And they'll transfer you.
Yeah, they will.
They don't want to lose you.
So, and I've been almost from the very beginning with them. I think they came out in what? Probably about 95.
Yeah, 96 for me.
I think they came...
I was with U.S. Robotics, and U.S. Robotics told me to get an account, and they paid for it when I worked for them.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they came out in 95, and I had a big dish at the time in Virginia, so I didn't hook up with them in Virginia. But I took down my big dish, and it's still sitting in the basement, by the way. And I moved it with us up here, having full intention to putting it up here once we moved into a house. But we rented a condo for 6 months when we first came up here. And I signed up for the cable TV. It was in Peterborough at the time. Cablevision was the cable company. And I could only take about 3 days of that cable company, because out of the 3 days, I think it was actually on my TV for about 4 hours. It kept going in and out all the time. And I said, that's it. I went down to the local Radio Shack, and they were selling DirecTV at the time, and they had a deal, and I bought a DirecTV little dish. Mounted it on the top of a 5 gallon kitty litter bucket filled with rocks.
Yep.
Stuck it out the back door, pointed it in the right direction, and I've never gone away from DirecTV since then. That was back in 1997. So I've been a long time DirecTV subscriber, and my 9-foot dish is still sitting in pieces in the basement. I still have the receiver too, but I wonder if it's any good anymore.
I dealt that it meets the current encryption standards.
But the tuner actually was kind of neat, because they had a box that you plugged in with all the encryption stuff, so you could pop that box out and put the latest in. But I'm sure everything's changed in, what, 15 years?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Anyway. Okay, so that's it. So HBO, yes. And I'm sure if HBO is going to do it, that means, who do they own? Cinemax?
Mm-hmm. Skinemax.
So, yeah, Skinemax. So Skinemax would be available too. So anyway. So Michael, there were some old things here. Do you want to? I didn't know whether to delete them
first here.
Huh?
I don't know which one to pick first.
We already talked about the. Oh no, that was pre-show, wasn't it?
It was pre-show, but I think everybody's snowed out.
Well, I was talking about the Pan Stars.
Oh, Pan Stars, yeah. Well, you know, for the people on the show, I apologize for not being here last week. Barry did give a good description of how I felt when I got home. Although, the way the evening turned out, I really was fried, even by my standards, got home. And the last thing I felt like doing after I explained to Barry and Jash and Barty that it just wasn't up to the show, last thing I felt like doing was cooking. So we wound up going out to dinner, and the town was actually a little busy. So by the time we got served our pizza and got done, it was almost 9 o'clock, and the whole time I was sitting at the table going, I just feel like I skipped school. They just did the whole show without me, and I'm still up. I should be in bed now. And I'm like, well, it's 5 tonight. You know what? It's clear out. We should go down to the lakeshore. So my wife and my youngest son and myself, my oldest son had just gotten back from another trip, and he was pretty fried. We should cover that, too.
Yes.
Right.
But so he was home, literally in bed, going, oh, God, it's been a weekend. And my wife and I and my youngest son went down about 10 miles down the lakeshore, where I knew there'd be a good northwest-looking view of the lake. And I just kind of did it on a whim, thinking, you know, I wonder if we'd be able to see, you know, with the comet with binoculars or something. And we pull off to the side of the road, and there it is, big as day. I mean, it's dim, but it was plainly visible with the head and the tail right over the lake. And my wife is like, I didn't bring my camera. But it was cool. We got out there, we could actually say we saw it. And then it snowed all week, so I haven't seen it again. Chris and I spent almost an hour out in the lake last night, and the clouds moved in just at the wrong time, so we didn't see it. She's going to keep trying this week, but now it's gone from a magnitude 0.2, which is where it was last Sunday, to it's in the plus twos right now. And for those that understand the star magnitude thing, a positive number is not good. -4 is bright. +2 is time exposure with a camera in order to be able to see it.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see. And it was really cool for my seventh grader son to see, because then he could go back to school and talk to a science teacher and say, hey, my dad took me out to the lakeshore last night, and this is what I saw. And the science teacher went, cool.
And of course, I was looking for it in the southeast part of the sky.
It's in the northwest.
We're not that far apart. I know.
I don't know. I don't know. We are practically a half a continent apart from each other. So
it's 1,200 miles. It's not that far. It's going to Canada.
Yeah. I was just looking. I'm reading about it.
I'm looking up in the sky, searching away.
Where well, worst.
It's at the back of his head.
Turn around. Can't see it. Well, worst case is I had the freaking star guide thing up, and it was telling me it's here, unless I was looking at a... Maybe I was looking at a different comet.
Well, the other one's coming in November. No. It's going to be a little brighter if it goes according to...
What's the name of that one?
I'd have to look it up. I don't remember.
Maybe I was looking, trying to look for that one.
No, it's possible.
Just a little early.
A little early.
Just a touch.
I'm just reading here. Yeah. Visible across the sky. Yeah, it's about done. I think this is the last week you could potentially see it.
It's the next week or two yet, but it's the only saving grace is that it's getting much higher in the sky, so it's still visible after the sun has really gone down. It's still, as of last Thursday, I was busy with my kids Thursday night, but I told a friend of mine at the ski hill about it. So as soon as he got off of work, he went to the nearest hill, and he saw it plain as day Thursday.
Okay.
And then it was about plus two. So there's still some hope, but it's going to be fading pretty quick.
Yeah, I remember the one back in, I don't know what it was, that huge one. Well, you know, the one that the guys all committed suicide over.
Koheptik, was it? I think it's Koheptik.
Yeah.
Probably pronounced
that thing was huge. I mean, you could see that. That was incredible. Oh, yeah, skies in the northern hemisphere. Oh, northern hemisphere.
You do have to set the right part of the Earth, but the app's supposed to figure that out on its own.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. I'm like, I'm pointing it out there, and Western Horizon. You'll need relatively unobscured view. Well, we have trees. That says, to southwest. Yeah, southwest view.
Northwest.
It says northwest here, relatively unobstructed view to the southwest at twilight. And, of northwest. Course, some... good comet watching weather.
Yeah, look on spaceweather.com. That's the place to catch it.
I'm on the NASA.
On and NASA it's saying right southwest?
It says the southwest, yeah.
It's northwest. Trust me. Something's screwed up here.
Well, I'm telling you, it's because you're in Upperville. You're in Upperville.
We're not that far apart.
But everything's the opposite in Upperville. It says southwest corner. Of course, I was looking in the southeast corner. I don't know. Maybe they're talking about in Australia.
It is. Trust me. It's to the northwest.
I can hear you the frustration find out where the sun sets.
I don't know if we talked about this on the show before, but you're talking to somebody who has actually built parts for Hubble. It's in the northwest.
Michael, I am going to sit here and look it up until I prove you right.
I could do I will do a whole show segment sometime on my experience with Hubble.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
Here's story. My second page that says Universe Today. And this is Pan-STAR, right?
Yes.
Okay, the first of three bright comets anticipated in 2013 became visible to North America observers this past weekend. Pan-STAR, blah, 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 blah. It's now currently visible low in the southwest at dusk.
Two weeks ago, yes, it was in the southwest. It's been moving steadily north over 2 weeks. It's in the northwest now. Trust me.
Okay.
I have seen it.
Really? Are you sure?
His own eyes.
Yes, I am sure.
Excuse me.
And a friend of mine took a photo in the same direction, and I put that up on Facebook later.
Okay. Saw that well, March 10th, it was there. In the southwest.
Yes. Well, actually, starting in March 8th, it was more to the southwest. It was more like west southwest. But yes, okay. That's where it was. You are correct.
Okay. Says it's brighter than Mars.
Nah, it never was brighter than Mars. That part they got wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless Mars is brighter up here, which could be.
Oh, there it is.
Mars and Marvin. Good old Marvin. Marvin the Martian.
Yep. Okay. And there's a picture of it with the sun setting in the southwest.
Ah, there's a boys girl.
And it says, oh, it's destined to slowly move over into the southeast.
No!
Oh, my God. I need another red stag.
Maybe why that letter was written that I posted. We'll segue right into this.
Go ahead.
I'm a big fan of Imgur, and I think each week I'm going to start picking something that I like on the net, whether it's a podcast or whatever. And Imgur is spelled I-M-G-U-R. If you haven't checked it out, it's like show and tell for adults. Not necessarily, I'm not talking adults as far as rating. I'm just talking about humor and such.
Right.
And somebody posted a letter they got dated 3/19/2013. And the letterhead reads, Carnival, Inspiration, as in the ship Inspiration. And then it says name, and that's been blocked out. And cabin, U-196. And following that, it says, in text, for your personal safety, it was deemed necessary to revoke your sale and sign card for purchase of alcoholic beverages. However, you are permitted to make all other transactions, such as soft drinks, water, and any other services. We would welcome the opportunity for you to meet with a member of our security team to discuss the reason for our decision. Please contact guest services at extension 7777, who will assist you in arranging this meeting. Sincerely, security services. How drunk do you have to be for a sailor to reject, you know, to revoke your drinking privileges on a cruise ship?
Oh, that's unbelievable.
That's a classic letter.
Oh, too much. Jeez.
There is a link to that in the show notes.
Yes, I just moved it up into the proper position.
The other one, I'd like you guys to click on yourselves, and then okay. I want to hear your reaction, because it's quite unique.
Is this the man's sink?
A man's sink.
A man's sink.
Oh, you moved it on me. I was
I'm there. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Don't let it happen again. Okay, now where
was that? It's not clickable now for me.
Why is it not clicking now?
I don't know.
You made it unclickable. Gonna have to cut and paste it now.
Oh, geez. All they did was cut and paste up to the top.
Someone's playing with it. I'm afraid to touch it. It's gonna detonate. All right, hold on here.
You gave a bum link, Michael.
No, because I cut and pasted it and it works.
Wait a minute. What am I doing here? So I want to copy this.
I think Josh especially is going to like this one.
If I can get it to do
it. Is this supposed to be like Omegur? Is that what? Oh, mine
it's
says...
It's an injury, yes. Injure.
Oh, shit. I just moved it. How come that happened?
Mine says file not found.
No, yeah. It's there. I'm looking at it right now.
Mine says file not found. Did I get the whole thing?
You must not have clipped. You must not have cut the entire thing when you pasted it.
Here he goes. He's playing around with the words.
Okay, now the link is working. We're all clicking the same thing. The same time.
No, all you see on Google Docs, all you see is...
Google Docs is going, wah!
Oh, there we
file
go.
File not okay. found.
No, yeah, mine there. Says file not found.
Mine says file not found as well.
That's pretty good, Michael. File not found. I like that. Oh, that's...
I cut and pasted it myself and it works.
Wow, that's cool.
Okay, everybody out of the pool. Everybody take your cursor away from the link one at a time.
Close there.
We've got three different colors on this thing right now.
I am going to...
Okay, Josh, you first.
I'll copy it.
Got to get the whole... make sure you don't add any spaces or anything.
I could control Z it back to where it was.
Where the hell's copy?
Command C.
Command C, that's right. And now...
I see control.
I'm still used to working on my crappy Windows machine. Control vector.
There doesn't seem to be any key.
I'm working on AutoCAD. Hold on, sorry. Where the hell's the any key? Jesus. I'm lost.
Homer. That was Homer Simpson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I see Pigot, Caturl.
You are wrong. Are you serious? Okay, listen up, brain. All right. Oh, you know what? It's because it's G-A-L. It's not G-A-L-L-E-R-Y / and the rest. The hyperlink is incorrect.
Oh, wait a minute. Part of it's missing. What happened now?
All right. Everybody. Okay, everybody back away from the link. I'm about to Control-Z it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We're missing the whole end. Okay. Resume clicking.
We moved it.
Huh?
I must have clicked on it before he moved it.
Yeah.
This must be really entertaining on the audio portion of the show.
I still can't click on it.
Nope.
I'm going to have to.
Well, that's not my. I will repost it, okay?
Wait a minute. Let me try it.
That's stupid. All right.
Okay.
Not you guys, me.
Let me go over here.
Just launched political QRM on my side, Safari, because I did a dumb thing.
Okay, I posted it all by its lonesome on the group W.
Wait a minute, I think I'm getting something.
Okay, nice. Nice. That is a nice sink.
I got a blank page.
That is friggin' awesome. You talk about...
My wife looked at that and said, that must be a bachelor pad.
That, you know what, you talk about a way of finding a use for an old tool cupboard that, you know, it's like, what am I going to, I already got 14, what am I going to use this one for?
That's a great.
A vanity.
It's the right size.
A Mastercraft vanity. Complete with a drawer. It's awesome.
It complete with a towel bar on the right hand side.
It just.
Oh, yeah.
It just fits perfectly. Oh, that is
There's
so...
only one thing that I could think of maybe that would just jazz that up, just like push it over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you take some aluminum diamond plate and you,
there
pop,
you, go.
You pop riveted across the front of some of them drawers.
I was thinking the top.
Chrome plate. I was thinking the top, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could
diamond
do
plate across the front.
And if you use
stainless steel.
If you use flexible tubing underneath, you could roll it out on its casters for easy cleanup and stuff.
Minus the plumbing that goes to the sink.
Well, that's what I said. If you use flexible tubing.
You'd have to have a lot of it. You know what? If it's in a guy's bathroom, trust me, it ain't getting cleaned underneath that. No need to be rolling anything out nowhere.
Wow, that is cool.
So what stays under the vanity lives under the vanity. But that's awesome, man. I actually saw someone... What was it? You don't remember? You guys remember the show Monster Garage with Jesse James? Now, do you guys remember there was a construction, like, home renovation show, like Monster House? And they had a crew go in and they'd build, like, a tiki hut room, or they'd build you a... It was like they'd build you themed additions into your house. They did the same thing with a stove. They took a toolbox and put the burners on the top of a toolbox. Diamond plated chrome and the whole nine yards turned into like an automotive theme, and I remember that. This reminds me of that. This is that's cool. I've got actually a couple of toolboxes, but I'm actually keeping tools in them. Otherwise, I know what to put in the bathroom. Well, once I convince the beautiful bride.
Okay, I think it works now.
But what works?
I fixed it. I fixed the link. In the show notes. So everybody can see what we're talking about.
You know what? The black and white checker floor actually makes it awesome. It's seriously, you got a nice racing theme going there. You put a couple of NASCAR posters up with Dale Earnhardt Jr., and I'm telling you what, you'd be proud to take a dump in that room.
Oh, God.
What? Was I not supposed to go in the obvious direction or what?
So what's this dam ice or ice dam? Uh-oh. You getting ice dams?
I'm hoping, actually, that's the case because Sherman set the Wayback Machine to about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the lovely wife and myself were watching TV, probably NCIS. She's really gotten on a NCIS kick lately. And we're just, it's evening. It's about the middle of the week. The kids have already gone to bed because it's school night. And we hear this wham on the roof.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the? I mean, we both jumped. And it was enough for me to open up the sliding glass door in the living room that hasn't been opened since October and has, you know, 2 or 3 feet of snow in front of it, to poke my head out and go, what the heck was that?
Right.
And I look around and I don't see anything. I see some, you know, we've got like 4 and 5 foot icicles off the eaves that, you know, I figured maybe one of those fell and hit the railing.
Right.
So I was like, well, I don't see anything really horrendous. Well, 2 days ago, paint starts peeling in one part of the living room.
Uh-oh.
And I look on the wall. Now, our roof overhangs considerably past the walls of the house.
Uh-huh.
But I look on the wall just outside of where this spot is starting to peel. And there's an icicle hanging down the wall from the soffit. It's a good 2.5, almost 3 feet in from the edge of the roof.
Uh-uh.
So I'm hoping it's an ice dam, but I'm wondering if we had a tree limb go through our roof. Because it was the whole house shook when this kablam happened.
That could be. Or, even worse, it could have been a giant icicle, and then it melted. So you'll never know.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But why? Why? Really?
Full circle back to NCIS. Anyhow, maybe there's a CSI episode. I don't remember anymore. But, yeah, so it's something has happened. Regardless, there is some damage up there, and now there is some damage on the ceiling that I'll have to take care of this spring. And but there isn't water running into the living room. There's nothing I can do about it right now.
No,
I can't safely get to that side of the roof until things defrost a little bit. But yeah, it was. I'll have to send you a picture of that. I took one of the with the iPhone. But there's a big icicle, and it goes almost from the roof down to the front deck in our house, in a place where there shouldn't be an icicle.
Yeah, that's not good sign. Killer icicles, a foot or so in.
Couple of feet in.
Scary situation right there.
Yeah. I'll send a picture. We can add that to the show notes.
Okay.
Because it's unique.
Yeah. Ouch. 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 Well,
go ahead.
No.
Well, you know, we don't have to use all my notes, and some of these are getting kind of dated. Although I will point out, now was that last week now? Boy, no, it was 2 weeks ago. Boy, we've got a lot of catching up to do. I haven't heard the whole story why they hold it in the middle of Lent, but we have Mardi Gras, like just before Easter.
Instead of when you're supposed to have it?
Yeah, it has something to do with it. It's more or less into the end of the ski season. They have Mardi Gras up here, which normally is like right in the middle of Lent. I don't understand that. This is the first weekend I've actually been home for it because I'm normally working medic shift during this,
mm-hmm.
and they take it really seriously up here. That the ski hill normally is getting ready to close, except this year we have plenty of snow. This is more of an average winter than it's been. So that wasn't really a danger, but everybody still came up. Everybody's wearing beads. Nobody's told me why they got the beads, and they only have to come out and see why. Well, no, I'm the only sober one in town as a medic. I can't come ride the bus and go bar hopping with you guys. But the township up here takes a couple of the school buses, and they hire the bus drivers, and they shuttle all these skiers from bar to bar. So, you know, nobody's driving, which is good, except for people that are sober. And they go bar to bar, and they all cycled through. The danger this year was none of them had been to the brewery before. So they'd already been drinking, and then they had 2 or 3 pints of this high-octane stuff.
Oh, wow. And then discovered the brewery.
I came to town thinking I was just going to have one beer and go home. Mm-hmm. And I became the de facto bouncer at the brewery, not because people were getting violent, but people were doing stupid things like walking outside with full pints in their hands, which is against the local codes. And by the time we got the brewery shut down, they had all shuffled down to one of the bars down the street and passing out in the bar. So I was literally picking people up and carrying them to the bus to get them back to their, you know, their respective hotels.
That's mighty kind of you.
Well, it was either that or I'd get called later. You know, it's all preventative maintenance to kind of look at it. Well, you know, if everybody has a good time and they get home safely, they come back next year. It's good for business.
Right.
Yeah.
But I still don't know why they have Mardi Gras in the middle of Lent.
Maybe because they can't have the parade. Usually it's too snow-packed when Mardi Gras is.
Could be.
Or something. Who knows? Because Mardi Gras is the beginning of Lent.
Yeah, well, it's the day before Ash Wednesday. You get it all out of your system before you start Lent.
You're not all Orthodox up there, are you?
Well, no, but... You know, I don't know if I've talked about the monks before. That's another subject, too. We actually have a Russian Orthodox monastery up here.
Oh, wow.
That are known for their cookies and muffins. So people go to get monkey cookies. Monkey cookies. Monkey cookies and monkey muffins. We'll talk about that on the show. That's an interesting story. But I'd have to be prepared for it, and I am not.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just adding it to the show notes, and I don't know that I spelled things right.
Oh, you can just take it right back out.
We'll save it for next week.
It's already in there, yeah. I'll do a history of it. Maybe I'll do a history of that on a Ubercast. How's that sound?
There you go. The Ubercast. Wow, I was just listening to that, 4 months ago.
I am actually actively working on episode 42, and since I'm not under pressure to get the Christmas episode out before Christmas anymore, I'm doing a proper episode 42, and then I'll get the Christmas episode out in the middle of summer.
That's the one you started on New Year's Eve, wasn't it?
Could be.
That's all right. We look forward to it. It's kind of like that, you know, waiting for that mailbox invitation.
Yeah, waiting for Godot. Well, I signed up for that, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. I got to see, you know, 390,000 people in front of me and one person behind me for a long time, and then it updated.
Have you got it yet?
No.
I've had mine for about a month. It's great.
I'll let you know what I think now that Dropbox owns it.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing, I think.
I think so, too. So, but it's a great... I use it all the time now. It's a really neat tool. So, well, okay, we're running out of topics, which is probably good. Oh, were Josh and I talking about your John Deere, and that's why you put that note in at the bottom?
Yeah. Okay. And that's actually one of the reasons why I didn't leave last week, because we had all this weather coming in, and one of my neighbors, who's a backup, was going on vacation. Who actually couldn't get out because of the weather. So he actually would have been around to help keep our lot clear. And our main neighbor that keeps everything clear while I'm gone is home in bed with pneumonia.
Oh, jeez.
Plus, he takes care of somebody, you know, a number of my neighbors. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, I'm not going to leave my wife in the middle of this weather. I don't want to drive through this weather. I wasn't feeling good in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I stayed behind, and the John Deere I've been using is his. Okay. My tractor is a Bowens, actually.
Wow, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, but it's still made.
It's buried in snow right now, right? Uh-oh. Michael?
Hello?
Michael? Oh, no. Hello? I think we lost him. Oh, yeah. He turned yellow. He turned yellow. Hopefully he'll rejoin us. Well, you know what? I think we're...
I'm back.
Okay.
It's the third time it's done. Now, the virtual machine, the Mac Mini, has been solid as a rock. My MacBook Pro has been about every 20 minutes. It goes away for a while. Mm. Just this time it happened while I was talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, just right in the middle of it.
Yeah. So anyhow, my Bowens, and Bowens is no more. I don't know if you follow that or not.
But, no. Did not know
Bowens was bought by MTD. It was a company in north of Milwaukee. And one of the first things that MTD did, based on reliable information from people I know that used to work at Bowens, is they came in and took all the spare parts out of all the yards and sent them off to the scrap yard because they were trying to force people to buy the new MTD parts, including all the spare parts for my tractor.
Oh, man.
But my tractor is a very popular model in various countries and is made by a company in Japan that actually supplies parts to a lot of other Japanese tractors. So it's a very healthy company. It just makes it more difficult for me to get parts for it.
Okay. Right. But you still can. I remember that my neighbor, or when I was a kid, my neighbor up the street actually had a lawn tractor. It was one of those, I call it a lawn tractor. It was an oversized lawn tractor. And it was a Bowens, so.
Yep. Well, this one's three-cylinder diesel, hydrostatic, four-wheel drive, front and rear PTOs.
Wow.
Large class three-point hitch in the back, and a front-end loader on the front. It's a small agricultural tractor. Mm-hmm. It would be definitely a lawn tractor on steroids, but it's much bigger than that.
Oh, yeah. I know what size it is. Yeah, it's kind of like that mid-size one.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we got it originally when he had the farm because it was small enough to get through the barn and into the stalls for cleaning up the, you know what.
Yeah.
So it's very maneuverable. But for me, it's perfect. My neighbors, when we first brought it up here, we were clearing 3 miles of road and driveways with it. Huh. And it's a rear blower. So you're driving backwards the whole time.
Oh, wow.
Now, I could move it all around to the front, but I have a front end loader up there. And the front end loader comes in real handy in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get stuck. I mean, you use it as a plow, right?
That, too. But, I mean, well, you get to that, you know, that really heavy crust that a snow plow has built up if somebody hasn't kept their driveway open.
Right.
I just would come right up to that and get the bucket right under it and would lift it right up. Blast it away. And then I'd turn around and hit with a blower and be open in no time. So it does come in real handy.
Huh.
And, yeah, if you get stuck, you just put the bucket down and you move it. And it pushes you right out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can use this like a lift or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-oh. What was that?
That was what?
Oh, okay. You're still here. Somebody came up on Skype somewhere. I heard the bloop bloop, and I thought maybe Michael disappeared for a second.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. So, yeah. My neighbor that had one of those, like, again, it wasn't the midsize. His was like a supercharged lawn tractor. But he used to pull this cart. He had a cart in the back. It was more like a trailer, a flatbed trailer. And he had built, I think he built it himself, but he had put like long chairs, like bench chairs on it. And every weekend in the summertime, he'd go up and down the street, and all the kids would come running up, and they'd jump on the back, and then he had cut trails through the woods and out in some of the old cornfields, which don't exist anymore. But everybody would just, you know, he'd go around, down, up and down the street, and all the kids would come running out, jump on the back of the thing, and he'd take you for a trail ride on this thing. And it was always fun, you know. One of those neat little memories from when I was a kid. So
yeah, what's cool about this thing, you know, it's smaller. It's a compact agricultural tractor, but it's all engine.
Mm.
It's really, you go and hit 3 and 4, you know, 5 foot of snow with this thing, the engine doesn't even bog down. It just goes.
Yeah.
And being hydrostatic, the PTO is running full time all the time, whether you're moving or not, which is a big plus on a blower.
Yeah.
The problem with blowers, they get clogged when you have to stop the PTO to change something.
Right.
Right.
Then everything stops and everything clogs up.
And if you get a wet snow, they're clogged up anyway.
Yep. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, guys.
I think we're there.
Yeah, I think we're there. We're out of topics. We've been going long. So we do have a musical guest tonight. It's Gala or Gala. Not sure how you would pronounce it. But it's two women who have a song called Settin' for This. So, but before we go, again, to all the people out there in the military, CONUS and OCONUS, thank you for what you do. Please stay safe, and we'll try to get you back home to your family and friends as soon as we can.
God willing.
Absolutely.
So with that, from the It's Almost Spring southwest corner of New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
From the warm and balmy southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from where August is a bad sledding month, I'm Michael, the virtual Uper.
Okay. Oh, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. Here's Bye. Kayla.
Boys like this, the games they're lying and they lack the presence. I'm losing hope and faith in finding the one, but I won't stop myself from having some fun. You had me fooled, boy. I was so sure you were the one for me, the one I adored. Time told the truth, boy, and yes, it hurt. And I know I deserve more. I know what I'm worth. I'm feeling blue, but I wanna feel bliss. I don't wanna feel lonely, but I ain't settling for this. We had fun going out and making plans, walking around kissing and holding hands. It was great, baby, yes, it was fun. And you'll never find another me under the sun. I'm sick of sitting here and wondering why. I'll never change you, boy, I'm cutting the ties. You taught me something, though a lesson's been learned, that you aren't quite what I thought you were. I'm feeling blue, but I wanna feel bliss. I don't wanna feel lonely, but I ain't settling for this. I'm feeling blue, but I wanna feel bliss. I don't wanna feel lonely, but I ain't settling for this.
Samson, speak. Good boy.